talk about our religious freedoms under fire. We're at a point now you can't even express a public opinion. We'll talk it through today right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
To all my friends listening in Greater New York, I'm about to talk about the New York Giants. That's right. I'm about to talk about the New York Giants and the NFL and freedom of speech and belief. Day by day, these get trampled on more and more. The good news is that believers are waking up more and more. And if you happen to know New York Giant star David Tyree, who's now been hired as the director of player development, or David, if you happen to be listening, I'm going to say in a few minutes will be of special relevance and encouragement to you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. It is very interesting to me to hear numerous Christian leaders talking about the potential loss of tax-exempt status. Very, very interesting to hear that. In other words, that if we simply hold to our biblical views and convictions on fundamental issues having to do with morality and family and marriage and sexual practice, things that are obviously important to our society, important to us as believers, that if we simply hold to what we have always held to, that we potentially could come into a situation where we lose our tax-exempt status, which is a benefit the government has given us, recognizing the benefit that the church brings to society. Well, interesting to hear people talking about if we stand up for what's right, we may lose that status. Let me say plainly that believers around the world are losing their lives for the gospel. It would not be the end of the world if we lost our tax-exempt status. While we have it, let's use it and enjoy it. But before I talk about President Obama, before I talk about the New York Giants, before I talk about a number of other things, let me remind you of what is happening in Iraq. I posted this from Jerusalem News Report and JNN News. It's gotten a lot of attention, been shared a lot. Here's the note: for the first time in Iraq's history, Mosul in Iraq is now empty of Christians. The Islamic State, ISIS, last week issued an ultimatum to the Christians in the town of Mosul, the second largest city in Iraq, ordering them to convert to Islam, pay a religious tax, or face death. The statement by the leader of the Islamic State, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, warned that the Christians had until Saturday, this past Saturday, to, quote, leave the borders of the Islamic Caliphate. He added that after this date, there is nothing between us and them but the sword. Messages warning Christians about the ultimatum were announced through loudspeakers on the city's mosques. Church leaders advised the few families who wanted to negotiate with terrorists that they should flee for their own safety. The exodus went on in Mosul throughout Friday, with all the Christians abandoning the town by the end of the day, many just with the clothes on their back. For the first time in the history of Iraq, Mosul is now empty of Christians, said one man. We have lived in the city. We've had a civilization for thousands of years, obviously a couple thousand. And suddenly some strangers came and expelled us from our homes, a woman in her 60s told media sources. Hundreds were walking on foot, said a bishop in the neighboring city of Tel Kaif. He said many of them were bereft of all money or possessions and that ISIS had robbed them of all their belongings before setting off for refugee camps. And as JNN News asked, where is the outcry from the Christian world about what's happening to the Christians in Iraq? Where is the UN? Where are the evangelicals? Where are the Jews and the protesters who so quickly come against Israel? Important questions to ask for sure. And a sober reminder that brothers and sisters around the world are suffering hellishly simply for professing faith in Christians. Suffering hellishly at the hands of radical Islam. The little pressure that comes on us in America should just be a wake-up call to stand up for what's right, regardless of cost or consequence. We come back, I will share with you my letter to the president.
The It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The United States of America, who you are and who you love shouldn't be a fireable offense.
Those are the words of our president, who on Monday signed an executive order saying that all those receiving federal funds, federal contractors, that they could not, quote, discriminate against LGBT people in the workplace. Otherwise, they would lose their federal funding, their federal contract. This is not some simple thing as it sounds on the surface, as if the issue was, okay, gays and lesbians are getting fired left and right for no reason other than that they're gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender. And the president's now fighting against this. No, this was something where he ignored pleas from respected religious leaders, listen to other religious leaders, even far left liberal religious leaders, ignored pleas for religious exemptions. You say, what's the issue? Let me explain. 866-348-7884. In fact, let me ask you a question. Your own personal opinion. You may profess to be a Christian, you may not, but I want to get your personal opinion on something, and I will get to some calls in a little while. Let's say there is a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender center, gay center in your city. All right? Whatever services they provide, they're the center in your city. Many cities have such places, and many have multiple such places. You have someone come in. You're looking to hire a receptionist, all right? Dress code's casual. That's not an issue. The receptionist comes in, highly qualified to be a receptionist, but the person is a born-again Christian, and they're wearing a T-shirt quoting Leviticus 18:22 that for man to lie with a man is an abomination, all right? Should you be required to hire them? Otherwise, you will be discriminating against them based on their religion. Should you be required? Let's say you receive federal funding as well to help with your organization. Let's say you do AIDS prevention, education, whatever the case would be. Let's just say you receive federal funding. You are the city's gay and lesbian community center. Should you be required by law to hire as a receptionist a Christian who wears a T-shirt quoting Leviticus 18:22? So it's just a Bible verse, all right? Dress code's casual, so the T-shirt is no problem. They got multiple T-shirts, so they switch them each day, but they all have a scripture like this. Should you be required by law to hire them? Or if you were allowed not to hire them, would you be guilty of discriminating against them based on your religion? 866-34-TRUTH. Now let's turn that around. And that's the issue that's come up with our president. Let's listen to him a little bit more, and then I will explain what the issue is here and why there is such an outcry over this from Christian leaders across the country. This is President Obama speaking in an LGBT gala regarding his executive order, clip number 8. Are we stuck? Are we all right? Not sure what happened there. We'll have to get back to clip number 8. Yes, correct. Clip number 8. Let's go ahead.
We have laws that say Americans can't be fired from their jobs because of the color of their skin or for their religion or because of a disability. But every day, millions of Americans go to work knowing that they could lose their job, not because of anything they did, but because of who they are. That is not right. It is wrong.
Now, that's not what happened. That is not what happened. What happened is that institutions, let's say a university that receives some federal funding, or let's say an organization like World Vision or Prison Reform, Christian Prison Reform Organization, that receives some federal funding, that they would now be required. They would, Joey, I gave you the wrong number. That's it. You know what it is? They're listed twice by the same number on my sheet here. I had two number 8s. That's what happened. Okay, I got two number 8s. Sorry about that, folks. Just trying to get our operation smooth today. Let's say you receive federal funding. Let's say you're a Christian organization. Let's say you have as a rule in your Christian organization, you have a moral code. Whoever works for you must abstain from sexual immorality. They must abstain from adultery. They must abstain from homosexual practice. It's just your code of conduct. If you came to our ministry school, that would be part of the code of conduct. If you went to schools around America, Christian schools, Orthodox Jewish schools, I'm sure Muslim schools, these would be just basic codes of conduct, moral conduct. What the president has said is, no, you must hire a practicing homosexual, even if you are a Christian university. Let's just say, theoretically, you are a nursery school and you receive federal funding. You would be required. You would be required to hire someone if they were otherwise qualified. Say a man who is transitioning to be a woman, and it's clearly a man, and he comes to teach the nursery school kids, four-year-olds, dressed as a woman. You would be required to hire that person or lose federal funding. In that light, Denny Burke, who's a professor of biblical studies at Boyce College, has now posted the question, are Christian colleges free to be Christian? And this was before the executive order was passed. He raised this question. Are Christian colleges still free to be Christian in this country? You may think that an unserious question, but if you've been paying attention to recent events surrounding Gordon College in Wenham, Massachusetts, you know it's a very pressing question indeed. Last month, Gordon College President Michael Lindsay added his signature to an open letter asking President Obama to include a religious exemption in a forthcoming executive order. The executive order will bar federal contractors from discriminating on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. Thus, any group receiving federal funds would be subject to this order. And there were Christians who signed this who've been those who campaigned for the president or even served as spiritual advisors, pastoral advisors to the president. They said, sign the religious exemption. President Obama said no. That's an outrage. That's why I wrote this letter to the president that is being shared tens of thousands of times online. President Obama, you have crossed a dangerous, unprecedented line. As I wrote yesterday, dear Mr. President, I write to you today as a concerned citizen of our great nation, standing as a witness against your historic actions on the morning of July 21st, 2014, actions which I hope you will one day repudiate with deep remorse and regret. I explained that what he did was an outrageous act of discrimination against religion in the name of anti-discrimination, an act of bullying people of faith in the name of the prevention of bullying. And I ask our president, my president, how can you as a man who professes to be a person of faith and a follower of Jesus throw religious Americans, in particular Christians, under the bus? How can you attempt to force Christians, Jews, Muslims, and others to violate fundamental aspects of their moral codes in order to appease a small but special interest group, one that is not, in fact, suffering daily economic hardship by being fired from their jobs because of their sexual orientation or expression? Have you forgotten entirely that our nation was founded on the concept of religious freedom? I explained that the Supreme Court has recently chastised the president, saying you have overstepped your bounds with many of the decisions you have been making. But now he is ignoring the appeal. This was part of the appeal by religious leaders. Mr. President, you've spoken eloquently of your commitment to protecting religious liberty, our nation's first freedom. As you seek to promote the rights of LGBT persons, please also protect the rights of faith-based organizations that simply desire to utilize staffing practices consistent with their deep religious convictions as they partner with the federal government via contracting or subcontracting. That was all the request was. Instead, Mr. President, you mocked these deep religious convictions. Other question, what was wrong with letting Congress make an informed decision on ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act? I mean, why bypass Congress entirely? And here are some of the implications. I discussed these with a top Christian attorney who works on these very cases. This is what I wrote to the president. An organization like Prison Reform, which utilizes federal funds to help transform the lives of inmates, would suffer dramatic financial setbacks should they simply refuse to hire individuals who violate their time-proven, biblically-based code of conduct. Children supported by World Vision with the help of federal funds would be deprived of food and shelter unless World Vision leaders compromise their Christian convictions. And they made clear they're not going to do that after much soul searching earlier this year. Find Christian universities which provide important academic and ethical training for the next generation of leaders, and which are also the recipients of federal funding, could suffer a massive blow unless they forsake the faith on which their institutions were built. And I write in my letter, Mr. President, must you now even take the place of God and tell Christians what they can and cannot actively practice? As FRC's Peter Sprigg wrote, this level of coercion is nothing less than viewpoint blackmail that bullies into silence every contractor and subcontractor who has moral objections to homosexual behavior. When we come back, I want to take your calls and talk about the New York Giants, the NFL. Oh, yeah. Bullying is here.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The Human Rights Campaign has blasted the New York Giants' hire of former wide receiver David Tyree, this based on his past anti-gay comments.
All right. Want to play a couple more clips. Michael Brown, welcome to the Line of Fire. I'm going to go to the phones in a moment. This is Jim Baskill on ESPN, and he's interviewing Dan Graziano about the New York Giants hiring of David Tyree. Let's play clip number six.
He's been very outspoken with his views on this issue, and aggressively so, in a way that doesn't just sort of lie there on the grass, but in fact seeks to make life more difficult for other people.
All right, so allegedly David Tyree's not just holding his views, making life more difficult for people. Let's just play one more clip, clip number seven.
Ultimately, the point of the Michael Sam story, as Michael would probably tell you, is that those who come after him will have to be less fearful of coming out and living their lives openly as a result of the work he did. Now, let's say hypothetically, the Giants have a player who's considering coming out, and they just hired a director of player development who has said things about homosexuals. How could you possibly come out and live your life openly and proudly knowing that someone who's one of your bosses feels this way about you?
This is absolutely remarkable. First, let me back up and say that the respected former coach and now TV analyst Tony Dungy has been asked for several months about his view on Michael Sam, an openly gay NFL player, has been asked for his views about Michael Sam playing in the NFL, and made clear he has every right to play, and it's based on merit, and he has nothing against him playing. He was asked recently, would he draft him? Would he have drafted him? And he said no, because of the media distraction, that he tries to avoid all potential distractions for the team, and because there was a media circus surrounding this, because there was even talk of an Oprah reality TV show. It was announced it's going to follow Michael Sam in training camp and see if he makes the team. It's utterly preposterous. As Tony Dungy said, based on his coaching philosophy and drafting philosophy, he would not have drafted. He was asked a question, would you have drafted him? No, I wouldn't, for the following reasons. And he's getting blasted. He's getting blasted for having an opinion. Tony Dungy is getting blasted for having an opinion and answering a question honestly. And I'm sure many other NFL coaches and executives felt the same way. We don't want the media distractions, and Michael Sam created them by coming out the way he did. Tony Dungy said, I wish him all the success in the world. I hope he's an NFL star. I'd gladly have him on my team as a player. That's not the issue. But you dared to say that you would have had an issue with the media distraction. Yeah, he's asked his opinion and he gave it honestly. And Dungy's a Christian enough man to have said, I'm sorry now that my comments are part of that distraction. So who's David Tyree? Well, there was a prophetic word spoken over him that he was going to make a miraculous catch in the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots. And he did. one of the most famous catches in NFL history as the Giants won dramatically against the favorite Patriots. He caught the ball with his hand and with his helmet. That's how he made the catch, this amazing catch. David Terry is a committed Christian. And he had said when New York was in the battle to redefine marriage that he'd donate his helmet, proceeds from his helmet, to stand for marriage so it wouldn't be redefined. And he said what many other reputable scientific organizations or individuals, academics, have said, that we don't know the cause of homosexuality. And in point of fact, what David Tyree said, he doesn't believe anyone's born gay. There remains no reputable scientific evidence that anyone is born gay. Even the left-leaning pro-gay organizations like the American Psychological Association, they say we don't know exactly what causes it. Seems to be biological, environmental, together. We don't know for sure. Tyree's blasted for this. Dan Graziano in a column says his comments are medieval. His viewpoints are medieval. Human Rights Campaign blasts the New York Giants for hiring him. And Tyree said, I know former homosexuals. How dare you say, I know former homosexuals. Many of you know former homosexuals. Some of you are former homosexuals. This is absolutely outrageous. As to the question, well, how would a player he wanted to come out now be able to come out on the team if the director of player development held these views? Well, what's the director of player development supposed to do? Not be a Christian? Not tell the truth that he knows former homosexuals? Not agree with other organizations that say that we don't know the cause of some homosexuality and there's no evidence that someone's born gay? To say, okay, I'm not going to stand for marriage anymore because I want to play in sport. What kind of nonsense is that? That's how far things have turned. Now it's the NFL getting crazy over this and sports correspondents getting crazy over this. Let people focus on playing football, and if they hold to particular views, religious views, spiritual views, moral views, they hold to those particular views and let them play football. The ones who are making this an issue are the ones who are saying, no, you have to be able to be out and proud, and no one under any circumstances can have any issue with that, regardless of media distractions or anything else. And no one is even allowed to say, well, according to my religious convictions, I differ. No, no. Friends, this is the type of political correctness we have warned against for years. I'm glad the Giants hired him and said he has his views. They're not ours. Fine, let him say that, but they hired him. And David Tyree had no response to the Human Rights Campaign. Good for him. He simply said, I'm glad to be playing on the Giants. And the more the sports world makes an issue out of these things, the more mud on their face for being on the wrong side of righteousness, justice, and truth. All right. I said it. Got it out. I want to take your calls, 866-34-TRUTH. Here's the question that I posed, all right? And in fact, right after the break, I will go straight to the phones. All of you losing me on your radio stations at break time, just keep listening at AskDrBrown.org or just call in and you can stay on hold, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to calls directly after the break. And here is my question once more. You've got a gay lesbian community center in your city. Let's say they receive federal funding. Should they be required to hire as a receptionist, a Christian, who, to show their faith and their viewpoint, wears a T-shirt, quoting Leviticus 18:22, that's an abomination for man to lie with a man? Should they be required to hire? As soon as we come back, I'm going straight to the phones, 866-348-7884. Friends, let me encourage you to stand with us as we are on the front lines making a difference. If I am speaking for you as a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, if you've gotten frustrated listening to the sports news or other news or seeing what's out there in the media, you're frustrated, like, will somebody say something? And as I'm saying, you're like, yeah, thanks, thank you. Well, then stand with us. Pray for us. Help get the word out to others to spread this message and help us financially. Just a reminder, if you become a torchbearer, we're sending you a free copy of the Tree of Life version of the Messianic, of the Scriptures, a complete Messianic translation of the Bible. This is our thank you gift as you become a monthly supporter. We also send you a free message every month, give you access to our online classes, and many other perks. Call now to join us, 1-800-278-9978. Be part of our team, 1-800-278-9978, or go to AskDrBrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Do you believe that a gay and lesbian community center, let's say they receive federal funding, should they be required to hire as a receptionist a Christian? Let's say dress code's casual, t-shirt's fine. A Christian likes to wear a t-shirt. From Leviticus 18:22, it's an abomination for man to lie with a man. Should they be required to hire that person? Let's go to East Orange, New Jersey. Jackie, thanks for calling the line of fire.
Hi, Mike. Yes, I'm calling to say that I stand with you on this issue, and I like the way you phrase the question. They would obviously not hire the Christian who, or keep them employed if they came in with a t-shirt like that. Likewise, believers should not be forced to compromise their moral and spiritual views just because they receive federal funds. And I further want to say that our president has simply come out of his closet, so to speak, to show his true left-wing, anti-Christian, anti-religious viewpoint. This is what I have to say. And now we have to get geared up for battle. According to Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verses 10 to 12, we have to get ready for battle.
Right. And by battle, of course, you mean spiritual battle, prayer,
spiritual,
standing up for what's right.
Yeah. And you, spiritual.
Yeah. You quoted Ephesians 6, not everyone would follow that. So Jackie, I'm with you in terms of it would not be right or fair to impose that on the Gay and Lesbian Community Center any more than it would be right or fair, say, to require Orthodox Jewish caterers or Muslim caterers to provide pork at an event.
Exactly.
Or to require, let's say there was a print shop that was owned by a gay and lesbian couple, and
right.
Gay or lesbian couple, and someone came in from Westboro Baptist Church with one of their God Hates Fags campaigns.
Yes, I remember
and
him,
said,
yes.
Yeah, said we'd like you to print up flyers for our event. They should be able to say no.
Exactly.
The idea, though, that Christians are not able to say no. The idea that, and here's what people have to understand, that a lot of these organizations, because of all the good they do on so many fronts,
yes,
be it a World Vision or prison reform, they do receive federal funding.
Yes,
and
they do.
And that federal funding is just part of the overall mix of what they do. So in point of fact, one attorney was talking to me about the implications of this. Say prison reform, for example, uses funds that they get, you know, some of their overall funds that they get. They dig wells in East Africa to help needy people. It's just part of what they do. They institute positive prison reforms to help rehabilitate prisoners so when they get out, they don't just go back to prison again, but they become better citizens. Well, they would be directly hurt because they could not violate the biblical principles on which they stand. Hey, Jackie, thanks for standing with me. And you bet, it's time to wake up. For me, the bad news is the good news. For me, the fact that things are getting as extreme as they are getting is actually good news. Oh, it's a shame. It's a terrible shame. It's a terrible shame that so many church leaders and believers have been so complacent for so long that we got to this point. Because I believe had our witness been stronger and clearer, we wouldn't have gotten to this point. Let's remember that up until 2012, President Obama said that he opposed redefining marriage. Now he's all in. Why? Well, he was always all in, but it wasn't political from statements that I have from him earlier. He was always all in on redefining marriage and the causes of gay activism. However, it was not politically expedient. It was not politically wise for him to say those things at that time. Therefore, he used a different approach. When he realized the political climate had changed, went in a different direction. But the bad news is the good news. This is finally causing believers to wake up to the fact that we've just been asleep as if, oh, America's a lovely Christian country. It's not. It's not. Wake up time. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Congress has spent 40 years, four decades, considering legislation that would help solve the problem. That's a long time. And yet they still haven't gotten it done. But I'm going to do what I can with the authority I have to act. We're on the right side of history. I'm going to sign this executive order. Thank you, everybody.
Until I lose my senses and I can't look
at it. Actually, Supreme Court's been telling the president and administration, no, you're overstepping your bounds. You're overstepping your bounds. There's even a major ruling now which threatens Obamacare. I'm all for affordable health care for all people. I'm absolutely opposed to many of the aspects of Obamacare. And looks like recent ruling threatens it pretty deeply. Needs to be something better. There needs to be something much better and much less oppressive than what is out there. But the president is completely overstepping his bounds. ENDA, Employment Non-Discrimination Act, is before Congress. And the reason it hasn't gone through is because there is a political process here in America. There is a political process, and these elected officials are supposed to stand for their constituents, and the constituents are not all in on ENDA as currently constructed. So then ENDA has religious exemptions. So all these gay activist groups and the ACLU, they pull out, and they say, no way. We're not going along with ENDA as is. So then the president just does his own thing, and that's what it is, in defiance of what is ultimately right. Of course, he's going to end up being terribly on the wrong side of history. I mean, it's already becoming that way with other aspects of his presidency, sadly. Perhaps there'll be miraculous intervention and a change, and he'll rise up into greatness as a president. But right now, it's been a running disaster on many key issues in our nation. But of course, he's going to be shamefully on the wrong side of history when it comes down to these issues and his attack on religious freedoms. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the Bronx. Abiel, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Michael Brown. My name is Abiel Moussa. I'm from East Africa, Eritrea.
Hello, hey, could you turn your radio down in the background there?
Okay. I'm from East Africa, Eritrea.
Yes.
Mostly in my country, that the church is persecuted. But again, when you just look on the Western, it's actually there's no persecution. But at the same time, I'm right with you about the movement right now. Even the president have spoken on Monday. I'm right with you. At the same time, I'm just a joy because there will be a persecution in the church that begin the right attitude to the word of God.
So, yeah, what are you specifically attributing to the word of God?
Yeah, because right now there is the movement that's the gay movement. In my country, mm-hmm. It's banned. It's not, nobody's exercised the movement. There is no gay movement. At the same time, the church is persecuted because they believe in Jesus. They are persecuted. At this time, in the Western, there is no persecution. They say they believe. At the same time, there is right now that's the movement, the gay movement. But in my country, there is no movement. So at the same time, it's good. At the same time, it will be the awakening of the church.
And let me just say this, you know, thank you for weighing in, sir. As we stand for righteousness, with love, with compassion, but simply stand for marriage as God intended it, simply stand for sexual morality, simply stand for gender distinction, we will be opposed. Jesus spoke of those being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Right now, it's verbal, it's legal, it's not physical. But it is direct opposition, and it certainly will intensify. But as I said, the bad news is the good news. This is helping wake believers up out of the complacency in which we often live. Thank you, sir, for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, let me just throw this out. I don't know that I'm going to fully get to this. But do you believe it could be a good thing if the church has lost their tax-exempt status. Obviously, it's a great benefit. It allows us to pour far more money into gospel work and to give far more to missions and the poor and far more to support gospel workers. But do you think it might be a good thing ultimately if the church lost its tax-exempt status so that it didn't have to ever think about bowing down to the government on any level? Just a question to throw out. 866-34-TRUTH. Back to my original question, Jane in Washington, D.C. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, hello. I'm confused. I really am. I'm a born-again Christian, but I'm confused by all of this controversy. I cannot understand why anyone would think that the president is to violate the Constitution and the Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, all decree equal rights for everyone, and the right to work, be employed, the right to housing, the right to vote, and all of those things. Anybody that's not a criminal. And so you have fornicators, adulterators, wife beaters, child molesters who haven't been caught. You have all kinds of people who are extended that right, and they are are exercising that right. I can't understand why the people who have different sexual practices behind closed doors can't have their civil rights. I don't understand that. Why the president is expected to deny them their?
Okay, let's deny them. Yeah, it's actually the opposite, Jane. But I appreciate the question. It's actually the opposite. Let's take a Christian institution. All right, let's say you're a charity and you help people around the world, and you receive funding from the government because the government recognizes you're doing a good job helping the poor, helping the needy. And let's say you have a policy about sexual purity and someone comes to work for you and they are fornicating. They are sleeping with their girlfriend, having sex outside of wedlock. And when you go to sign the code of conduct, they say, I can't sign that because I'm living in fornication. And you have another employee says, no, I can't sign it because I'm sleeping with my neighbor's wife. I'm living in adultery. And let's say you have a code of conduct about no drunkenness. And someone says, well, I can't sign that because I'm a practicing alcoholic and I drink a lot. All right. So what the president is now saying, if you want to put it over in your terms, is that that Christian institution would be required to hire those people contrary to their moral standards. That's the issue.
Okay. The problem with that is, the majority of the world are sinners, okay? And that's what you have going on. It's been going on forever that those kind of people have been employed. If they do the work and they don't bring their sexual practices and habits into the workplace, they should be allowed to work. And I think that applies to the fornicators, the adulterators, the homosexuals, and whatever else. This is a democracy. It's of the
all right, so a Christian institution is not allowed to have Christian standards, is what you're saying. Just to be plain, a Christian institution is not. Here, for example, we have a church organization, we have a missions organization, we have a school. Anyone who works for us or my own ministry has to live in a certain ethical way, otherwise they can't work here. And
if they're going to accept
is that wrong? Should we not be allowed to do that? Should we not be allowed to do that?
Well, if you're going to discriminate based on what people, what kind of sexual practices they carry on behind their bedroom doors, then you shouldn't accept federal taxpayers' money.
So the government can tell a Christian you can't be a Christian.
Jane, hang on.
Okay. Has nothing to do with being theocracy or democracy. Federal funds are not only secular. Where is that written? Our founding fathers, many of them said the only way our nation can work is with God and Christianity. This government is not
said, law,
we do not have freedom from religion. Where did we get freedom from religion? It's freedom of religion.
The law states that there's not to be any discrimination based on sex, gender.
There is no discrimination.
Color, so many different things.
There is no discrimination, Jane.
So it's against.
But you're saying thou shalt not be Christian. That's what you're saying. You shall not be Christian. You are not allowed to have any federal participation if you are a person of faith, if you want to hold your convictions. I mean, that's the problem.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, let me try to explain some things, because the issue seems to be the federal government funding anything, or you doing business with the federal government as a contractor or a subcontractor. And therefore, you cannot, quote, discriminate based on your religious beliefs. As the caller just said, you should not be able, as a Christian institution, if you receive any federal funding, to hold anyone to Christian morals. If someone is openly living in adultery or fornication or alcoholism, and they cannot sign a code of conduct with your institution, if you get federal funds, you have to ignore your moral standards and your Christian beliefs. Obviously, that's a massive misunderstanding of the function of the federal government, whose goal is not to ban religion. And to say this is a democracy, not a theocracy, yes, it's a democracy, not a theocracy. If it was a theocracy, we would require, everyone would be required to live by God's standards or die, as happened in ancient Israel. This is not a theocracy. But this is also not a democracy that is antagonistic to religion. In fact, it is based on and founded on freedom of religion. And the government has always dealt with and done business with organizations of faith that hold faith standards, and the government has never required them to violate them until now, until the actions of President Obama. This is an act of discrimination against religion in the name of anti-discrimination. It is an act of bullying in the name of preventing bullying. Joseph Backholm, writing for the Family Policy Institute of Washington, said this, and he wrote this yesterday, speaking of the day before. Yesterday, President Obama signed an executive order to prohibit the federal government from contracting with anyone who, quote, discriminates on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. In short, it forces the 24,000 entities who contract with the federal government and employ 28 million workers, about one-fifth of the nation's workforce, to promise that they will never decline to hire someone based on their sexual activity or desire to be a different gender. As a result, any church, nonprofit organization, or business that believes marriage is a relationship between a man and a woman, a position the president agreed with only 2 years ago, could be ineligible to compete for public contracts or grants. The executive order also bans, quote, discrimination against federal employees based on their gender identity. In recognition of the fact that every major religion has taught that sexuality is best confined to natural marriage for thousands of years, a request for religious exemptions from the mandate was made. That request was denied. So I have a simple question. Let's say you have a man who is transitioning to be a woman. He's convinced that he is a woman suffering from gender dysphoria, and he is now transitioning to be a woman. So first he's going to dress as a woman and then get on hormone treatments, then have sex change surgery. So he is clearly, physically, evidently a man. He starts to grow his hair. He wants to teach at a nursery school, and the nursery school, some federal funding for educational activities in nursery school, gets funds. They would be required to hire him to teach four-year-olds. It doesn't matter what confusion it would bring to four-year-olds. They would be required to hire him. That is utterly outrageous. If you pull churches and religious organizations out of the mix and then look at charitable work done in the inner cities, on the streets, among the poor, among the needy, you would suddenly have a massive, massive, massive void, because these are the groups far and away that are most active. You just go somewhere where the disaster takes place. You don't see normally a big truck, you know, from Richard Dawkins' atheist organization, but you'll see World Vision, or you'll see Operation Blessing, or you'll see Samaritan's Purse. You'll see other Christian organizations, the first ones there. Let's say they receive federal funding to help in some of their larger work. It all goes in the same budget. Let's say they use some of that for disaster relief. No, you can't. Unless you violate your sexual moral code. That's what this is saying, and that is why it is so outrageous. And that's why all the president had to do was sign an exemption for religious organizations so they could practice their faith freely. Instead, he trampled on that in the name of anti-discrimination, thereby terribly discriminating against millions and millions and millions of Americans. All right. Christianity Today says this: new executive orders on LGBT discrimination don't accept religious organizations. And it explains that religious organizations with federal grants are currently protected. A 2007 religious exemption memo from the Federal Attorney General's office says the Religious Freedom Restoration Act is reasonably construed to exempt World Vision and other religious organizations that administer federal funds through social service programs from religious non-discrimination requirements on other federal guarantees. Well, this basically, potentially, voids that out. This potentially sets in motion a situation where many of these organizations, which do a massive amount of good for a massive amount of people, will not be able to. Why? Because they won't be allowed to practice their religious beliefs and hold to their moral standards. You've got to understand, again, that up until 2 years ago, the president was pushing the same position that marriage is the union of a man and a woman, and then allegedly evolves in his views and now wants to impose this on everyone. All right, listen, friends, the phone lines are jammed. I had a few things I wanted to say. The phone lines are jammed. So stay with me. Leighton, David, Chris, Elwin, others, stay with me. And as soon as we come back, all right, won't be long. It's just a couple of minutes. Stay with me through the break, and I'm going to go to the phones quickly. And we're having a discussion because it's a discussion that needs to be had, and because there is a massive amount of misunderstanding. I just posted on Facebook, as a lot of folks are weighing in critically and attacking. Call the program, 866-348-7884, because I can't interact with you while I'm doing radio. And plus, if we have, we're now over 40,000 comments in a week on our Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page, there's no way I'm going to see the vast, vast, vast majority of them. So give us a call and we'll talk. Stay on the line and we will get right back to you. So much happening in Israel. We'll refocus on Israel tomorrow. We have a very important resource set we put together of three DVDs, a lecture on the history of modern Israel and the truth about whose land and who's oppressing whom. And then an important debate I did with the identity of Israel. Is Israel the church today? What about ethics? What about the end times? Another debate about the promises to Israel. Three DVDs with postage, $40-something value. Yours today, $25 postage paid. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, to order, or call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today: in many ways, sad to say, our president has declared war on religious freedom. It is time for us to stand up for what is right. Talk about our religious freedoms under fire. We're at a point now you can't even express a public opinion. We'll talk it through today right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, whose freedom is more important, your freedom or my freedom? You know, when two kids want to play with the same toy, who gets the toy? When the husband wants to go left, the wife wants to go right, which one prevails? When there's a conflict between religious freedoms and sexual freedoms, which one prevails? You say, well, that's a no-brainer. Our country's founded on religious freedom. Ah, not a no-brainer today. For years, I and others have been saying that the principal threat to freedom of religion, speech, and conscience in America is gay activism. That's becoming increasingly clear, and that is through straight allies of gay activists like, sad to say, our president, my president, Barack Obama, who has outrageously ruled against religious freedoms and has discriminated against religion in the name of anti-discrimination. 866-34-TRUTH. I've got some audio clips to play for you, a bunch of things to discuss. Last hour, I asked a question, and I did not get to many callers who wanted to weigh in on it. So let me pose the question again. If there was a local gay and lesbian community center, they received funding from the government to help with their work, maybe AIDS prevention or something like that. And they were hiring a receptionist, casual dress was fine. Someone came in totally qualified, great personality, great answering phones, talking to people, but they were a committed Christian and they disagreed with homosexual practice and they wore a shirt, a t-shirt that quoted Leviticus 18:22, that it's an abomination for a man to lie with a man. Should that community center be required by the government to hire that person so that they would not be guilty of discriminating against them based on their religion? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones in Boston. Leighton, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you, sir?
Doing well, thanks.
Awesome. So I do believe that, are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. I do believe that it would be discriminatory to, if the person is fully qualified, to not hire them. However, the question you posed a little bit before that one was, it was sort slightly flipped. It was more so on the religious side, meaning if a religious entity, would they be forced to hire somebody who was not necessarily willing to...
Yeah, let's say you had a code of moral
exactly.
conduct that forbade fornication, adultery, or homosexual practice, and someone who
awesome.
Was out and proud gay in a sexual relationship, someone of the same sex, wanted to work for you. Should you be required to hire that person if you were, say, a Christian university and you had a code of conduct?
Now, I'm not the most seasoned Christian. I'm somewhat of a novice Christian. However, I feel like as Christians, we have to separate ourselves from the rest of the world in terms of discriminatory, in terms of just all aspects of life. So with that said, I believe that for a Christian entity to not hire that person, it would be somewhat discriminatory because God employs us, from what I believe, from what I've been studying so far, he employs us to welcome any and all, and not necessarily welcome them, but how can you attempt to disciple somebody or attempt to show them the light if they're rejected or they're told, no, you're not allowed to be a part of this because of your beliefs or because of your actions? No.
So if the person, say, was an atheist, let's say the person was an outspoken atheist, should you be required to hire them to teach religion, to teach Bible in the Christian school? See, we're not talking about the church lately. We take everybody in and we love everybody and we reach out to everybody. But when you're talking about hiring for a position, if you can't hold to your morals and standards, how can you have an organization?
Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, you know, this is a very interesting conversation we're having. 866-34-TRUTH, in light of the president's executive order that he signed Monday morning, which orders all contractors, subcontractors, those doing business with the federal government, receiving funds from the federal government, which is multiple thousands of organizations and multiple millions of workers, that they cannot, quote, discriminate against LGBT people in the workplace. Now, it'd be one thing if gays and lesbians were getting fired left and right from companies all over America simply because they were privately homosexual or privately were living with another person. That's not the case. That's not the case. What we're talking, and I believe it would be wrong. It would be absolutely wrong. Let's say you're got a company, you do computer programming, and someone comes in to do computer programming, they're highly qualified, but you happen to remember, boy, didn't I see you at a gay pride march? Aren't you gay? Yeah, I'm gay. Live with my boyfriend. It would be wrong to not hire that person because of their homosexual practice to work as a computer programmer. And it would be wrong to not hire an atheist, and it would be wrong to not hire a Muslim, and it would be wrong to not hire a Buddhist, and it would be wrong to not hire many other people. And if somebody was sleeping with his girlfriend outside of whatever, she came, picked him up at the car at the end of the day, it would be wrong not to hire him based on that if he was qualified, because it's computer programming. It's computer programming. But if you had a school, a Bible school like we do, I'm not going to hire a Muslim to teach at our school. How are you going to disciple him? Not in that context. I'm going to try to win him to Jesus. He's welcome to come to our service. He's welcome to come to my home. We'll sit and have a meal together. We'll share the gospel. But in the setting of the school, we're there to train and equip people for ministry. So the idea that we'd be discriminating if we don't do that, no, we're simply practicing our faith. It would be just like the equivalent of saying we're hiring someone to be a computer programmer, but they don't know what a computer is, but how else are we going to help them? Well, that's not the place to help them. That's the place to get someone to work that fits the job description. That's what it comes down to. Just wanted to make that clear. 866-34-TRUTH. David in Yonkers, New York. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
You know, according to the last statistics, which I haven't seen change, 80% of people surveyed are supposed to be Christians. We wouldn't have these issues today on the gay marriage, along with 1.3 million abortions a year, a $14 billion porno industry. These people, psychologists, psychiatrists, doctors, especially if they proclaim to be Christians or have read the Bible, know darn well it's not hereditary. One, DNA, you can't jump from a monkey to a human. And two, God wouldn't put something in the Old and New Testament. The idolater, adulterer, homosexual, fornicator will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. God said it twice, Old and New Testament. That means he put the emphasis on some sins as being higher than others. So that guy who gave that answer on hiring a gay person, he's a wishy-washy Christian. He's a poor excuse of one. You've read the word. You know what Leviticus says. You know what it says about thou shalt not lay with the... God took down a whole city. The men in the city came to have sex with the angels.
David, just to hang on, though. As far as, though, the workplace issue, the question that I ask, should a gay and lesbian community center be required to hire a Christian... They should be.
Yeah, you know, I just saw in the paper the other day, I didn't even know they have a comic out. Archie is a grown-up, and it's been running like 4 years, and they're going to have him assassinated because he's trying to save the senator's life.
Oh, yeah, trust me, I understand. He's going to give his life.
Then how come we don't have people giving scenarios where people are Christians and they're getting murdered
right
in these comics and
because
everywhere?
It's not politically correct, David. It's not the spirit of the age. But look, something really simple. If 1/10 of believers in America were serious about their faith and really lived it out in a New Testament way, our nation would be shaken in a very short period of time. And they'd be shaken by the love of God. They'd be shaken by the truth of the gospel. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Fairfield, California. Elwin, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Good evening, Dr. Brown. On your question, should a gay organization hire a Christian or with someone with a shirt on? No, they should not. Because I was really looking at that word requirement. And you know what? We talk about anti-slavery, or I think we're trying to force an individual to have, you know, not to be able to have his own conscience and to stand on those conscience. And, you know, when I was really listening to this, you know what, when our philosophy sooner or later become our theology, then it becomes dangerous, because then we're no longer standing on God's word. We have our own opinion, and we're really out there putting the risk on the next generation, is because God is not the primary. And as a matter of fact, he's become really the second or the third position in everything that we say and that we do.
But, you know, Elwin, a lot of that you articulated rightly there is not so much the fault of the society, but the fault of the church, which is
I agree with you.
You know, we've made God second. Talked to Joel Stockstill about that yesterday, that the big message of the church is just be you. You know, you're just awesome, you're amazing, and God just wants you to have this amazing destiny and just be you, as opposed to be conformed to the image of Jesus and die to self so that you can truly live to God. So the church has really been complicit in this, Elwin. We have preached the gospel that rather than turning the world has catered to the world. Rather than trying to bring about conversion and change, we have just built sinners up in their sin and unbelief, because of which we're in a real, real spiritual and moral crisis. And yes, the ones that feel it the most are our kids and our grandkids. They're going to grow up in a world that is, an America that is unrecognizable to us. My hope, sir, is that hearts are being stirred, hearts are being changed, people are starting to wake up. They're realizing that the words we're speaking are not just empty words. And, you know, Elwin, I was talking to a colleague, a grad from our ministry school, had him on the air briefly a couple of days ago, and he's working with the U.S. Center for World Mission now. And he was saying that a few years back, when God stirred my heart and I started working on writing A Queer Thing Happened to America and devoting so much energy to these issues, people wondered, why is he doing that? Why is Dr. Brown doing that? People that knew me for years. I mean, they knew me for Jewish ministry. They knew me for revival. They knew me for awakening in the church. They knew me for missions and holiness. And why was I doing this? Well, it's because it was a major, major issue facing our society, and one that had to be confronted with love and truth together. So again, as I've been saying, the bad news is the good news. The bad news is things are spiraling out of control, and you're there in California. You guys sadly have been leading the way in a lot of the moral and social insanity. But in California and across the nation, more and more believers waking up and getting serious. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not blaming,
no.
You know, I hold the president accountable for his actions, as we all should. I hold others accountable for their actions, but I'm not blaming anybody for my condition or where we're at. If we will get hold of God seriously, we will see wonderful things happen. Please.
You know, because I've been really looking at the book of Jeremiah and dealing with King Zedekiah and those that are around him. And I'm looking at the church leadership and, like we're saying, the church and all that, because you were saying, you know, I see the church. And I love the church, don't get me wrong. I love the church with a passion. And my heart is for the church. But I see, you know, like, we want to please the king so much to the point that we're not willing to hear what God has to say.
Yeah, and let me take it further, Elwin. I focused on this because I wrote a commentary on Jeremiah. The two main kings we learn about in the book of Jeremiah are Jehoiakim and Zedekiah. And Jehoiakim was just outright wicked and outright blatantly rejected the word and was proud over it. And Zedekiah was more of a man pleaser. He often knew what was right, or he recognized that Jeremiah was speaking the truth, but he was more concerned with what people said. He feared people more than he feared God, because of which he brought disaster on his nation. And Elwin, I would say many of our leaders in America today, many of our spiritual leaders have the Zedekiah syndrome. And we too are more concerned about what people think and what people say and our own reputation than we are concerned with what God says and with God's reputation. May God help us. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
These religious freedom arguments, these religious exemption arguments, are so powerful because they could completely eviscerate the non-discrimination norms that we have already passed in states and that we are trying to pass in at the federal government level and other states as well. And so these are not places where it makes sense for us to compromise as a community, because it's going to completely undermine the quality principles that we need.
That was James Essex with the ACLU. He focuses on LGBT issues. He's on Gay USA with Ann Northrup and Andy Hum a little over a year ago, July 12th, 2013. And he is making clear, and the Hobby Lobby ruling by the Supreme Court kind of sent shockwaves across the nation, even though it was only a 5-4 vote, pathetically. But the extreme overreach of Obamacare and its requirements for people of faith, or I should say businesses, faith, and organizations of faith and conscience. Thankfully, the Supreme Court took the stand that it took, and that's just one small step that needs to be taken. But James Essex and others are saying that if you have a religious exemption for a business, then that undoes all of the gains in gay and lesbian activism. It undoes all of the positive, in their view, all of the positive ground that has been gained. Please understand this. That's why the ACLU, along with quite a few major gay activist organizations, no longer support ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, even though it has specific language for all companies across America that you cannot discriminate based on sexual orientation or gender identity. They do not support it because it contains religious exemptions. Well, of course it has to contain religious exemptions. Otherwise, sexual desires, romantic attractions, and gender identity trump religious freedoms. Of course it has to have those. And it's not going to pass without those unless America goes completely batty over these issues. That's why President Obama passed his executive order and did so without religious exemptions, outrageously so. Let me say it again. Use a McDonald's. You are a McDonald's manager. Someone wants to work and flip burgers. The person is an atheist, or the person is a Muslim, or the person is a Buddhist, or the person is a committed born-again Christian, or the person is a guy sleeping with his girlfriend, or is a man who's happily married, or is a gay guy in a relationship with his gay partner, and that person works hard and can flip burgers, should they be discriminated against based on their atheism or their Islam or their Buddhism or their fornication or their homosexual practice or their Christianity? Or no, that would be discrimination. That would be wrong. Let's say you are a Muslim school, and you are teaching children how to be Muslims, and you are educating them whatever requirements that you have to educate them in American education. And with that, Muslim studies, and they're learning Arabic and so on. And you say, okay, I'd like to work at your school. In fact, I'm a qualified teacher. I've got 20 years teaching children in elementary school. But I am not a Muslim. In fact, I oppose Islam. I believe it's the demonic religion, but I'm otherwise qualified to teach her. Should that person, should the school have to hire them? Of course not. That's absurd. That's utterly absurd. Because it's a Muslim school. They should be free to practice their faith. Oh, but not if it's going to intersect with homosexuality and gender identity. You shall not practice your faith when it intersects there. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Sid. Well, I was going to Sid in Charlotte, but that is not going to happen. All right, speaking of Charlotte, I was just handed something from a local gay activist who's been on the air with me that I've had the pleasure of spending some hours talking with, interacting with in different settings. And he posted something on his Facebook page that was, here we go, Matt Comer. And Matt posted this: Michael Brown joins the collective right-wing freakout over the federal contractor-subcontractor executive order. I don't see what's so hard to understand. You are free to discriminate any way you see fit. Don't want to hire an LGBT person? Then don't pay for their salary or portion of your other business or operational costs with taxpayer funds, some of which are partly paid by the very people you seek to discriminate against. It's really very simple. For a man with so many higher education degrees and experience, this logic should be a cakewalk. Ah, Matt, you got it wrong. But thanks for linking to my article in Town Hall, President Obama, you have crossed a dangerous, unprecedented line. But to be clear, Matt, here's the issue. It's not a matter of saying, okay, I won't use those funds. It's saying you will not get any such funds. So let's say you take a World Vision, for example. And World Vision now has reinforced the fact that as a Christian organization, its employees must hold to Christian moral standards. So no sexual activity outside of marriage, so no fornication, no adultery. You're heterosexual, homosexual, doesn't matter. And marriage being defined as the union of a man and a woman. So now, theoretically, the government could say, okay, we love the work you do. You help the poor, the needy, food distribution around the world. However, we will not give you any money unless you now employ open homosexuals. We will not give you any money. So even though it's a violation of your Christian moral standard, we will not give you any money. It's not a matter of saying, Matt, that we'll give you a certain amount of money, but just use it on projects where you have homosexuals working for or whatever. No, the simple fact is the money would be withheld. And when people have a budget, they have funds that come in. And if suddenly 10% of their funds disappeared, that would affect the overall operation. So, Matt, this really is very, very simple. And by the way, if we lose all the money, if we lose our tax exemption, so be it. The church will come out healthier if it stands up for what's right. And ultimately, we'll reach out to even more effectively and touch more and more people who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender. Because you have your set of stories. We have ours, as we're hearing constantly from people who are saying, I want to know the Lord. I want help. I don't want to live the way I'm living. And Jesus is working wonderfully in many, many lives. And you should be thrilled that people are finding wholeness and being blessed and are leading productive lives and are happier than they were before. So you should be blessed with their stories. I am not freaking out over the issue. I'm calling the president to account as a concerned citizen, whatever voice I have. My concern is with him and the wrong that he's doing. On our end, the worse things get in terms of loss of religious freedoms, the better we'll do in terms of waking up, because we've been awfully sleepy and complacent as believers here in America. Partner with us, friends. As I speak, if I am a voice for you, if I am a voice of moral, spiritual, and cultural revolution, partner with us. Hold our hands up. Together we are making a difference. Why not join us as a monthly supporter today? Go to AskDrBrown.org. Read about it. See all the benefits that you'll get and how you'll partner with us. The good that you'll do. Go to AskDrBrown.org. Right on the homepage.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nation. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it's always nice to get a shout out from Right Wing Watch, which is an offshoot of People for the American Way. Let's see, Right Wing bonus tracks from yesterday. Michael Brown likewise voices his displeasure. You took it upon yourself to enact an order speaking to the president, which declares that in the workplace, sexual rights trump religious rights. What a terrible, tragic shame. And thanks for linking. Who is it from? Kyle, thanks for paying attention to what we're doing, buddy. And linking to my article on Charisma News, which, let's just see, it's gotten a lot of attention. It's hit a nerve. I wrote it with a heavy heart. I was working on other things. In fact, I thought, okay, I wrote a couple articles over the weekend. I did a lot of Job commentary work, working on another book, was focusing on the book. My heart got heavy over these issues, and I thought, no, I need to write this. And by God's grace, this has been shared quite a lot and seems to be making quite an impact. You know, just on this website, shared over 35,000 times, which is a lot. So I'm glad that folks are hearing and helping get the word out. All right, let's go back to Sid in Charlotte. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Brown?
Doing well, thanks.
Oh, I have a question, and I'm going to hang up after I answer it because I'm working right now. But the question I want to, well, first of all, I agree with everything that you're saying. I agree that a religious organization shouldn't be forced to hire anyone that goes totally against their beliefs. But at the same time, the question is, why do churches allow those same type of people, whether it be homosexual, atheist, or what have you, why do churches allow them to worship with them and also give offerings and, you know, and be involved in their worship services? I think that if they won't allow them to work with them, I don't think they should allow them to worship with them either.
Ah,
I think
okay.
It's a big contradiction.
All right. Yeah, great question, Sid. Yeah, let me say where I draw the line, what the difference would be. Should people of all backgrounds, atheists, people of other religions, those living in sexual sin, drug users, those getting drunk, violent people, whatever it is, should they be allowed to worship with us? Oh, absolutely. Without question, our doors should be open to everyone. And the moment they come in our doors, they should recognize this is a place that cares for everyone. This is a place of people who've been saved from sin, themselves who've been transformed, having been forgiven much. We love God much and we love others much. And everyone should be totally welcome to come in and join us. 100%. In fact, some years ago, we did a prayer outreach across the street from the gay pride event. Now, there's a second part to what I'm saying, Sid, all right? But we did an outreach. We worshiped and prayed across the street from a gay pride event, repented of our sin. And some lesbians came over, and they asked if they could join along with us. And we said, sure, just join in with us. And they were touched. Someone had a prophetic word for one of them about what was going on in their lives. And one of them had given an interview earlier in the day and then said, wow, this was radical love. They realized they gave an interview against us but encountered that. Now, that being said, should a fornicator be actively involved as part of the worship team? Should someone who is an alcoholic be involved in serving as a deacon? Oh, no, of course not. Of course not. There are codes of conduct by which we must live if we are to serve in aspects of ministry and serve in different ways within the church. Everyone should be welcome to our home groups, to our corporate services, to hear the message, to receive the love of God, to receive the truth of God. As far as being involved in the employ of the ministry, if they're not living by moral standards, by godly standards, should they serve in the ministry or be in the employ of the ministry? No, of course not. That would be very wrong and detrimental to everyone.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
And now, thanks to your passionate advocacy and the irrefutable rightness of your cause, our government, government of the people, by the people, and for the people, will become just a little bit fairer.
The words of our president signing an executive order on Monday against, quote, LGBT workplace discrimination. In principle, I agree with much of it because there are no religious exemptions and because of what it forces on religious organizations and institutions. I passionately differ with it, because of which I wrote that letter to the president that was referenced in the last segment. You say, where can I read that? Just go to my website, AskDrBrown, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest article. Let's just listen to a little bit more of what the president has to say. Let's go to clip number two.
For more than two centuries, we have strived, often at great cost, to form a more perfect union, to make sure that we the people applies to all the people. Many of us are only here because others fought to secure rights and opportunities for us. And we've got a responsibility to do the same for future generations. We've got an obligation to make sure that the country we love remains a place where, no matter who you are or what you look like or where you come from or how you started out or what your last name is or who you love, no matter what, you can make it in this country. That's the story of America. That's the story of this movement.
With all respect, sir, the story of America has not been that no matter who you love, you get federal recognition and federal backing. That has not been the story of our nation, nor is there a federally protected right to be with whoever you love. You realize how ambiguous that statement is? You realize how wide-ranging that statement is? You realize how much that statement has to be qualified for anyone to accept it? If I say, so whoever you love, oh, well, not this, well, not this. Okay. And notice, in that statement, there was something very important missing. How about whatever you believe, whatever you believe? That was conspicuously missing, and that's what our country was founded on, was religious freedom. One more statement from our president, clip number three.
As everybody looks around this room, you are reminded of the extraordinary progress that we have made, not just in our lifetimes, but in the last 5 years, in the last 2 years. In the last 1 year, we're on the right side of history. I'm going to sign this executive order. Thank you, everybody.
Oh, you know, it's sad to hear that. It's sad to hear the clapping, because as sure as I'm sitting here, time will tell. And I don't think only at the judgment seat, only when we stand before God, or only after Jesus returns and sets up his kingdom on the earth, but I believe right here in the midst of American life and society, we go on long enough, we will look at President Obama's actions and recognize he was terribly, terribly on the wrong side of history, meaning history going in the right direction. He was terribly on the wrong side of it. And the so-called progress is nothing other than an assault on marriage, assault on the fundamentals of our society, male and female, he created them, assault on religious freedoms. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Ed in Charlotte. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Well, thank you, Dr. Brown. It's nice talking with you. The last answer that you gave about homosexuals being welcome in the worship service but not being able to take active role, I'd like to get a copy of that some kind of way so I could send it to every pastor that I know, because I've been preaching that for years and I can't get anybody to understand what I was saying. But what I really called to say was that things are not going to get better when President Obama leaves office if Hillary Clinton comes in. It's going to get worse. I'm 76 years old right now, and and I've never voted Republican in my life, but I pray that Republicans are going to give me somebody to vote for in the next presidential election.
Yeah, who would be a candidate you would vote for?
Well, I'm not going to vote for a non-Christian.
Got it.
And that's the only place that I draw the line.
Is there anybody out there on the Republican end that you think highly of?
Well,
because
I haven't been too excited. I was going to vote Republican once before, and then they dragged Sarah Palin out from under some rock. Uh-huh. I don't know where she came from. That was the only thing that stopped me from voting Republican then.
So you didn't like Sarah Palin? No. All right.
Not at all. And so, I'm just hoping that they're going to bring somebody out. I don't know. You know, I would even consider voting for Jeb Bush. You know.
Got it. But, yeah. My hope, Ed, is that. I voted Republican the last couple of elections, but with real regret and hesitation. I wasn't convinced that John McCain would stand for issues I wanted to stand for. I had grave reservations about Mitt Romney. I could have not voted at all, but I did vote, but with real reservation. I couldn't vote for President Obama. I really wanted to. I wanted to be part of history in a positive sense. But because it was pro-abortion, pro-homosexual views, and I questioned where he stood on Israel, I couldn't do that. But the big error would be that we think, let's just say a lot of those who voted Republican, that if we can just get a Republican in, that'll change things. We have to get a godly person in, and then we have to elect other godly officials. And a lot of people, Republican and Democrat, they're just career politicians. You know, and they're kind of like the establishment, and that's a big, big problem, the political establishment. But, you know, one show, I've got to do this. I don't think I've said more than a few sentences about Hillary Clinton over the years. I got to do a show one day and ask, what's the big deal about Hillary Clinton? Like, why would anyone even think she'd be a good candidate, or why is she even popular in certain circles? But, Ed, stand strong. And may the grace of the Lord be yours. And let's really keep praying. We've got time still to pray for President Obama. And then let's pray for awakening, because the change has to start in the church. Oh, by the way, tell you what, if you just stay on the line, all right, and if you have an email address, if you give your email to Johnny, we will excerpt that audio that you asked for and send it to you, or send you a link to it, so you can share it with others. And let me just say this, friends. So, Johnny, see if Ed has an email. Great, we'll get it to him. Okay, let me just say this. As more and more people are recognizing the issues and waking up to the issues, we have been standing for truth and righteousness in these areas for years now. The reason that we're on the front lines, the reason that by God's grace, when we speak, things are being heard across the nation, is because we are not newcomers to it. This is not just some new conviction that we've taken on. But if anyone will take time and read my book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? You'll find that in terms of outreach, in terms of ministering to individuals, I care deeply, deeply, deeply about everyone who identifies as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. My issue is that sexual desires and romantic attractions don't trump religious freedoms. It's that simple. All right, let me grab one more call before the break. Ray in Warrenton, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, am I on air now?
You are on the air.
Okay, well, Dr. Brown, basically, I want to just speak out about, you know, what the president is, you know, the revolt he's leading against the church, in my opinion. I don't think it's just by chance. I feel like it's a deliberate attack. I'm not trying to be too radical here, but I think it's a deliberate attack against the church and what we believe as Christians, for him to sign an executive order that actually takes our freedoms away and what we believe. What about our rights? And that's the thing about this whole homosexual movement. This movement is a spirit of the Antichrist, because it's against Christ. Anything against Christ is the Antichrist. I'm not saying Obama is the Antichrist. However, I have thought about it, but nevertheless, it bothers me that, you know, our religious freedoms can just be stripped away from us, and now I'm going to be forced to hire a homosexual if I want to start up a Christian boys and girls club. you know, now I can't say, well, no, you can't be part of my mission statement, you know, because my mission is based on Christian principles. I mean, what do you think, Dr. Brown? I mean, do you think that's
Listen, real simple. I understand. I know some people may hear your comments about Antichrist and flip out, but I understand what you're saying. Anything that opposes God's principles, anything that opposes the gospel is anti-gospel, anti-God, hence Antichrist. But yeah, bottom line, bottom line, for sure, gay activism is the principal threat to freedom of religious speech and conscience in America. We've been saying that for years. It's unfolding in front of our eyes. What does it mean? Great opportunity for us to live right. Great opportunity for us to stand up.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I addressed this in the first hour, and I want to come back to this for those who may have missed it. There are some interesting things happening in the sports world now, in the NFL, with political correctness run amok. And now if you don't say and believe things properly in terms of gay activist goals and talking points, you are becoming persona non grata. This has to do with David Tyree, who was a star with the New York Giants, made one of the greatest catches in Super Bowl history, ostensibly a miraculous catch, when the New York Giants defeated the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl a few years back. And he's been hired by the Giants now as director of player development, and he holds to Christian views. He's an outspoken Christian, holds to supporting marriage as a union of a man and woman, holds to the idea that people can change. He said he knows former homosexuals, and has also said that no one's born gay, which is, of course, scientifically true, that there's no reputable evidence that anyone is born gay. Well, he's become a target because of that. Human Rights Campaign has gone after him. I want you to hear what some sports commentators have to say, beginning with clip number 5.
The Human Rights Campaign has blasted the New York Giants' hire of former wide receiver David Tyree, this based on his past anti-gay comments.
All right, that was Jim Baskerville on ESPN, and he's interviewing Dan Graziano, clip number 6.
He's been very outspoken with his views on this issue, and aggressively so, in a way that doesn't just sort of lie there on the grass, but in fact seeks to make life more difficult for other people.
Ah, all right, so in other words, he holds these views publicly. Let's hear some more, clip number 7.
Ultimately, the point of the Michael Sam story, as Michael would probably tell you, is that those who come after him will have to be less fearful of coming out and living their lives openly as a result of the work he did. Now, let's say hypothetically the Giants have a player who's considering coming out, and they just hired a director of player development who has said things about homosexuals. I mean, how could you possibly come out and live your life openly and proudly knowing that someone who's one of your bosses feels this way about you?
How can the boss live his life openly and proudly? So you're not allowed to be a Christian anymore? You're not allowed to be open and proud as a Christian because that might potentially offend a gay player? You're not allowed to openly and proudly say marriage is a union of a man and a woman. You're not allowed to openly and proudly say that you know former homosexuals, be it through professional counsel, be it through a life change, be it through the power of the gospel. You're not allowed to say that if you know it to be true. And if you're convinced, as many scientific people are, that we do not know the cause of homosexuality, but that there is no reputable evidence that someone is born gay, you're not allowed to say that because that could negatively impact a player that wants to come out as gay. So the possibility that someone might come out as gay trumps the fact that you've got a large number of Christians that are playing in the NFL and that are executives in the NFL and coaches in the NFL? No, they're not allowed to say anything just in case it might negatively impact the feelings of someone coming out gay? This is openness. This is tolerance. This is diversity. Are you kidding me? Clip number 8.
It's a red hot issue right now in the NFL and certainly in society at large. And Tyree is on the increasingly unpopular side of it. And I'd go so far as to say the wrong side, because, again, no matter what your beliefs are, and he says his are rooted in his religious beliefs, no matter what your beliefs are, religious or otherwise, you start using them as a way to treat other people poorly and negatively affect their time on this earth, then you've lost me. You know, whatever the beliefs are and whether I share them with you or not, you don't get to use them as a weapon, and David Tyree has done that.
Oh, no, Dan, you just did that to David Tyree. You just used your viewpoint as a weapon against him. How was he treating people poorly by saying he knows former homosexuals? How is that treating anyone poorly? How is it treating anyone poorly to say he doesn't believe anyone's born gay? How is it treating anyone poorly? And to say that marriage is a union of a man and woman, and to hold to that which Scripture lays out, which Jesus himself reinforced, which is the only thing that the human race has basically known in its history in terms of recognized marriage until that's been questioned in recent years, you're not treating someone poorly by saying that you believe that marriage is a union of a man and woman. It is outrageous to see the level of political correctness. And it goes on with Tony Dungy as well. Respected coach, respected Christian, I should say, as well. All right, friends, we're out of time. We are out of time, but there is so much going on, and we have been addressing it. Oh, I have an important article coming out tonight. I have an important article coming out tonight, friends, about we're talking about adult siblings. In this case, you've got little kids in the car. MTV saying that stuff between adult siblings is hot. And the normalization of perversion in our society. Look for that article. You say, well, how will I know it comes out? Well, we'll shoot a note out via Twitter and Facebook as soon as it comes out, so you will know immediately tonight. It only comes out about 8 o'clock Eastern Standard, my Wednesday articles on WorldNet Daily. So much to address, so much to talk about, and glad that we can partner together in doing it. I've shared this before, but I got a kick out of this. Someone told me when they were watching me on Piers Morgan end of last year that they were literally shouting at the TV because somebody was on the air speaking for them, articulating their beliefs, and doing it in a way that they felt was godly and gracious. We are glad to be your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Please take advantage of the thousands of hours of free resources we have on our website. Take advantage of them. Every day, the audio of every broadcast is archived, so that's 2 hours free every day. You can subscribe by podcast, iTunes. It's free. And this way, we're able to pour into you. We put up new videos on a regular basis. I write several new articles a week. They're all posted on the website, all free. Please share them with others and prayerfully consider partnering with us. Just think of if we could be on more stations across the country. Just think if we could develop new TV programs addressing questions of the faith. Just think if we could increase our Jewish outreach. Just think if we could pour more funds into missionaries going out around the world. Think of how much more we could do. Well, you can help us. You can partner with us. The money doesn't go into my pocket. It goes right back out into ministry. Would you stand with us today if you become a monthly torchbearer, put aside a dollar or more per day, $30 or more per month? We'll send you a free copy of the Tree of Life Messianic version of the Bible, along with a new message every month and other perks and benefits you get. So stand with us. Would you give us a call? 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Once more, that is 1-800-278-9978. Go to AskDrBrown.org. My bottom line today, as I've been saying over and over, the bad news is the good news. It's wake up time for America.